T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios with you for the full four. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much, but you want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone, take your Alexa speakers, take your tablet, take your Roomba, take your Game Boy, take your Texas Instruments calculator, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, the best way to keep up with us is through our personal Twitter pages at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of everybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass, producing the show as always, Day Day is in the house at DD Lewis for real. Well, a bunch to get into with you here this evening. Let's start with the Atlanta Braves. And we'll talk to our buddy Bob Nightingale coming up at 7:40 because he broke the story about the idea of why Marcell Ozuna was benched in that game yesterday. And it was because of the 415-foot single that he hit. Now, we'll talk more about that, but Bob Nightingale going to join us here coming up at 7:40. It was a good weekend for the Braves. They took 2 out of 3 from Arizona. They found a way, you know, Rosario hit the grand slam yesterday, and they found a way to win 4 runs in the eighth inning, and Braves get it done 8-5 yesterday. So now the Braves are 20-10 on the road this year. 20-10 on the road. I mean, that's an outstanding record. We've talked all year about this, how good that they have been on the road. So, again, can't argue about the road. Maybe be a little bit better at home. But still, when you look at where they are in the standings of everything, right, they still have one of the biggest division leads in Major League Baseball. 3.5 games. They have basically Baltimore and Tampa. That's a 4.5 game lead. The Astros and Indians are 3.5 behind the Rangers and Twins. So the Miami Marlins are now 3.5 games behind Atlanta. So with all of the things that have been going on, the injuries and all this good kind of stuff, and trying to sort some things out, Braves have been phenomenal, and their road record is outstanding. Baltimore has been outstanding as well. They're 20-10 on the road. I think that's the only two teams that have as much as 20 wins on the road. The Rangers are 19-12 on the road, and the Blue Jays, believe it or not, are 18-17. They've played 35 games, though, on the road. So Baltimore and Atlanta getting it done on the road. And you look at the Braves are a plus 63 run differential. The Marlins are a minus 37 run differential. 100 runs separates them. I'm surprised there isn't a bigger lead in the division for the Braves, but give the Marlins credit. They've won 3 in a row. They're 7-3 in their last 10, so they're hanging tough. They're good at home, but below 500 on the road. So they're hanging tough. Now we get the New York Mets, right? Day-Day, when will we have our song available to us?
It will be ready tomorrow.
Okay, you sure?
Yes.
Okay, so we got the extended LP, version. EP, disco version of the song.
Yeah, the 12-inch.
Right, the 12-inch version. So we got the extended part of it. So, yeah, the Braves and the New York Mets get a series going underway from Truist Park. So Braves are the day off today, obviously flying back from the West Coast. So all good news there. But a lot of news and notes on the Atlanta Braves. So the Braves made an announcement today. The Braves today claimed infielder Lucas Williams off of waivers from the L.A. Dodgers and optioned him to AAA Gwinnett. And to make room on the 40-man roster, Atlanta transferred left-handed pitcher Max Free to the 60-day IL. So now Wright and Freed are on the 60-day IL. That's not good news. And the club also optioned Michael Soroka back to Gwinnett. Now, obviously, Soroka pitched yesterday in that game. You know, we were looking to see if he could build off of that first start that he made. He was going up against Zach Gallen. It was not going to be an easy matchup. But 3 2/3, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 4 walks, 2 homers given up, and he only pitched 80 pitches in that game with 2 strikeouts. 2 strikeouts and 4 walks. So obviously, I don't think that this is a health or, you know, a physical issue. I just think that they want him to get back and being right. Now what happens? Because we were kind of hoping, if nothing else, that Michael Soroka could just stabilize one of those spots, right? Again, not trying to be the Cy Young winner, not trying to be the best young pitcher in baseball from a few years ago, not any of that kind of stuff. Just stabilize one of the rotation spots that we're missing, right? Because we've got our big three, Elder, Strider, Charlie Morton, right? We're good there. Now we've got to figure out 2 spots. And obviously, Freed and Wright aren't coming back anytime soon. And we were hoping, and obviously Ian Anderson, not an option, he's down for the year. We were hoping that we could get Soroka. Like I said, all I needed from Michael Soroka was just kind of being a consistent 5-inning pitcher, you know, not getting roughed up and just kind of stabilize one of those spots. Now, Michael Soroka going back down. Now we're back to Dylan Dodd and Schuster and bullpen games and all this, that, and the other. You know, we're back into that kind of mode where, you know, it's going to be a hodgepodge of who's going to start. And, again, I don't know how long Soroka ends up being, you know, down, you know, with Gwinnett, but probably for a little bit here. Now, the Braves will play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So they've got a lot of games in a row coming up here. In fact, their next off day won't be until June 19th. So, what, 2 weeks from today, right? 2 weeks from today is their next off day. So, again, we're going to go through a whole stretch of games where we're going to have to figure out multiple spots in the rotation. I'm sure there's going to be at least a bullpen game or two. You're going to play 14 days, in, you know, well, what, 13 days in a row, I guess it is, 13 days in a row of playing. So you're going to have to figure some things out. So, again, we're kind of back into this. You know, Soroka was supposed to pitch on Friday. He was supposed to pitch on Wednesday of the following week against Detroit. Well, that's, you know, out the window now. So now we got to figure out multiple spots. By the way, Elder, Morton, Strider will man the starting rotation against the New York Mets. So we're going to pitch our take our best three guys that we have left in this thing and see if we can handle the New York Mets for all of it. And Day-Day has promised us, remember, folks, he has promised us that by tomorrow we will have our F the Mets. What is it? The extended LP, EP.
12-inch
disco version.
The B-side, right? Yeah.
Or the DJ Khalid extended mix version.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll have all of that available coming up tomorrow. So the Miami Heat, they tied up the series. Crazy kind of game. I mean, you know, listen, we talked about this before the series started. This is going to be I don't know. Have you seen any of the numbers of games one and two? I have not seen the TV numbers, but this was one of those things where this may be a really good basketball series, but I don't know how much the viewership was going to be in this. I have not. I'll be honest with you. I have not seen the TV numbers to tell you one way or the other. Any idea of what the TV numbers have been for games one and two? But this is going to be a good basketball series, if nothing else. Like, this is a good basketball series to get into. So now we wait for Wednesday before we get to game number three. So, you know, we're playing these games, you know, about a week apart, you know, it seems like. I mean,
they had about, 11.5 million.
Okay,
on
so
the first day.
So the Warriors and Cavs were getting in the 20s. They were like 20, 21, 22 million.
Right.
So, okay. So I would guess that that is a pretty good drop for the NBA Finals in games one and two.
If that's
about 11 million.
Yeah. Now, last night it went up, and I'm guessing because it was the weekend, but it did go up to 12.7.
Okay. So, again, and I don't have the numbers to compare it to, but I know the Cavs were doing 19, 20, 21 million when it was Cavs and Warriors for a few years ago, right? So, okay, I mean, not bad numbers. I mean, you know, again, that's, you know, when you have the Heat and the Nuggets playing, you know, I don't know how much star power. I mean, again, it's not a matter of that they're not good basketball players, but, I mean, Joker and Butler aren't LeBron and KD and some of those kind, right? And Steph, right? They're not the top of the food chain kind of player. They may be great basketball players, and Joker may be the best player in the world, but if you're that casual NBA fan, you might not know as much about, you know, Jokic and what he can do on the basketball court. And obviously for the East Coast people, they just don't see a whole lot of it.
I was going to say that's going to be the case with a lot of people too, west or east of, I guess, the Mississippi, right?
They're not – for as good as they have been, they're not one of the marquee teams. Like Golden State, the Lakers, those are marquee teams, right?
Right.
Those are marquee franchises. The Nuggets are not a marquee franchise.
No. And then when they do get TV time, national TV time, they're coming on
10 o'clock at night.
On our side. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah. And again, for all the success that Miami has had, you know, this is not LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, right? I mean, it's not that big three. Jimmy Butler's an outstanding player, second team all NBA. Not taking anything away from him. And I think Jimmy Butler is one of the more underappreciated players in the NBA.
Definitely.
For what he does and what he means to his team. And honestly, what he's meant to a whole bunch of franchises. You know, what he's meant to multiples of franchises. But specifically, you know, for the Miami Heat, I think he's one of the more underappreciated players. And again, I don't know how much it's going to move the meter. If they're only 11 or 12 million, I mean, that's significantly down from years past of what the NBA Finals have been. So, but game three will be coming up on Wednesday. And Miami did its job. It took one of two, right, in Denver. So the Heat are back home. And, you know, that'll be an 8:30 tip on Wednesday. And I think you're right, Day-Day, that the weekend did give it a little bit of a boost, but I would have thought that they would have been maybe somewhere 15, 16 million, maybe not such a big drop from what we've seen in years past with everything. So, again, it's, you know, it's just, it's two teams that necessarily don't move the meter. Good basketball series, but I don't know how much it really moves the meter on everything. So we'll see what happens there. So and we'll talk some also we'll talk some college football with Heather Dinich, senior writer of college football for ESPN. She will join us coming up at 8:20. Some good conversation about, not necessarily about the football stuff, but again, all the behind the scenes things that are going on. Expansion possibly for the Big 12, you know, SEC schedule. I mean, all these different things that are coming in to everything. So, and we get a little bit of football talk in there as well, but certainly obviously a lot going on in the world of college football. All right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. I'm going to open up the phone lines. Do you believe what Trae Young had to say about Nate McMillan? 404-726-0929. We'll give you Trey's comments about Nate McMillan and the offensive philosophy of Quinn Snyder moving forward. Up next, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on a Monday evening. All right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We're going to play a Trae Young clip here from his podcast. What's his podcast called? The From the Point podcast. Talking about Nate McMillan here in just a minute. We're going to get your reaction to all of this. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. So on his podcast, Trae Young cleared some of the air on Nate McMillan in talking about him and had this to say about him.
It's it was never easy. Obviously losing Coach Nate. I mean, everybody always, they can say what they want.
Yep.
Me and him had a really good relationship. I mean, you can't go to the Eastern Conference Finals without having a good relationship from the coach to the PG. So we had a great relationship. Obviously, things didn't end how we both wanted it to. But, I mean, that's just the NBA and this is business.
Okay, but you also can't have a head coach fired a year and a half after making that Eastern Conference Finals run. And not and when we hear all of the reports that the star player and the head coach did not get along and there was frustrations there, including when Trae Young didn't show up for, remember that one game day day where he didn't show up and wasn't on the bench?
Yeah, and it was supposedly miscommunication.
Okay,
after the
so,
practice, yeah.
Okay, so how good was their relationship? I'm not saying that Trae Young and Nate McMillan were at the point they were going to fight and duke it out, right? But less than a year and a half or a year and a half later, Nate McMillan is gone. And all the reports were that it was because the coach and the star player couldn't get on the same page. Now, if what he says is true, now listen to this, Day-Day. If what he says is true, then are all the people who said it was all about coaching, are those people wrong? Are those people wrong? Because he talks about having a good relationship. And again, they weren't going to fight. It wasn't like they were going to slug it out or duke it out. But you can't tell me that there wasn't some smoke to some of that fire. Do I think that they had a good enough relationship that they could communicate with them? Yes. I don't think it was so toxic between those two that, you know, again, and what's the first thing we heard about Quinn Snyder? Well, can Quinn Snyder, you know, deal with the star player and all this, that, and the other? Okay. Doesn't that lend into the idea that the relationship was strained in some ways or contentious in some ways? See, you can't have it both ways. You can't blame everything on Nate McMillan and then hear Trey talking about how it was all bouquets and roses. And he can't say that you can't get to the Eastern Conference Finals without, you know, having a good relationship. Okay, but you can't have that good of a relationship and have your coach fired a year and a half later. See, those two things don't necessarily work themselves out. And for a franchise that has had little success, I mean, let's be real, they have not had very much success in this franchise's history. Blips and bloops and bleeps, you know, specks of dust along the way. That you fire a guy who took you further than any coach has in the history of the organization a year and a half later. And I'm not even saying that it wasn't justified and things like that, but still, like, the two things don't kind of go along with one another. So 404-726-0929. How much do you believe in what Trae Young had to say? Now, one of the other things that Trae Young also brought up on his podcast was the idea of him shooting more threes. I'm going to read you this quote from Trae Young on his podcast. Quote, "I'm going to focus a lot more on shooting threes. Quinn likes us shooting a lot more threes, getting good shots, and making sure my three ball is back to where it needs to be." Didn't he just have his worst three-point shooting season in his career? He's never been a 40% three-point shooter. Now, this does line up with what we have heard about Quinn Snyder and the idea of Quinn talking about shooting more threes, right? We've heard that quote from other people on this roster, that Quinn wants to shoot more threes. And again, I can understand some of the analytics and the metrics about it, but still, for instance, I think DeJounte Murray is one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA. I'm not going to take that away from I'm not going to sacrifice his ability to get to the basket and take that mid-range jumper for him launching up more threes. And Trae Young averaged 6.3 attempts per game from three last season. How many more threes do we want him putting up? If he's only going to be a 33 to 35% shooter from three, how many more threes per game do we want? Not just Trae Young, but this team. I got too many guys at times that think they're three-point shooters. John Collins thinks he's a three-point shooter. DeAndre Hunter thinks he's a three-point shooter. We're not talking about Trae or DeJounte or A.J. Griffin. We're talking about John Collins and DeAndre Hunter. Those guys don't need to be hucking up more threes. But you know what, though? There's definitely a good chance. So that's the second part of all of this. As far as the first part goes with the whole, you know, Nate McMillan thing, I don't see how we can hear about everybody talking about, well, we've got to have an evaluation of the roster and we've got to see if the star can get along with the head coach. Why do we have to see that? If the star player had such a good relationship with the last coach, why do we have to worry about whether or not the star and the head coach can get together, Day-Day? Why do we have to worry about all that stuff?
Yeah, we shouldn't.
Right. If the relationship was so good and it was so well done, then we shouldn't have to worry about that because, again, if it was all hunky-dory under the last coach, why would it not be under this coach? What would have changed? I mean, by all accounts, Quinn Snyder's a player's coach, and he's obviously an excellent mind and a basketball, you know, savant and all these other kinds of things. Why would we have to worry about that kind of stuff? Because it's two coaches in a row that there has been issues with the head coach and star player. Now, do you remember the book, The Bronx Zoo?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember what that was about?
I don't think I actually read it.
So that was about the turmoil of the New York Yankees, right?
Yes.
Remember in the mid-late 70s that the Yankees were a multi-time World Series champion?
Yep.
Okay. You think Reggie Jackson and Thurman Munson got along with one another?
Nope.
You think they were ready to fight?
Yep.
Okay. You think Billy Martin was, and managers like that were all in the camp of Reggie Jackson and people like that?
Nope. It's documented that there was
a lot of. I mean, that's why it was called the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah.
So, you know, so just because you have success doesn't mean everybody gets along. It doesn't mean that everybody gets along with one another. Doesn't mean that everything is behind the scenes all hunky-dory. So success doesn't necessarily lead to harmony within your franchise.
I mean, look at the most storied one with the Chicago, with Jordan and the guy. What was his name? The GM. With the Bulls. That they didn't get along.
Well, I mean, are you talking about Jerry Reinsdorf? Yeah. I mean, again, Kevin Herter talked about the idea of the worst thing that happened to the Hawks was having that Eastern Conference Finals run. And now we're led to believe that everything was hunky-dory between coach and star player and all that kind of stuff. And see, some of this stuff could have been cleared up if Trae had spoken when Nate was fired and he had that personal day off and all that kind of stuff? If some of this would have been cleared at that, if they could have cleared the air at some of this time,
he let it linger.
What do I always say, Day-Day? Perception has the same effect as truth.
Yep.
And in the fans' eyes, for a lot of fans and a lot of people, it looked like that Trae was dodging some of this and didn't want to speak about it. Now, again, I know he had a personal day and all that, and it was excused, and I got no problem with that. I got no problem, no issue with him having it. But not saying anything about it, even when you came back, not saying anything about it, made it linger, and it made the perception of it look worse than what it was. And again, what did we hear from John Collins and some of these other people? Well, his message wasn't getting through. His message was stale. His message was for a younger team, and on and on and on and on about the message that Nate was providing. Again, I don't think that Nate and Trae were going to slug it out in the back alleys of a building somewhere, and they're going to fisticuff fight. But there were philosophical differences. There was a philosophical difference between what the star was thinking and what the head coach was thinking. And there couldn't be all that smoke without being some fire to it. Like, I don't believe everything just kind of happens in a vacuum like that. I don't think everybody that reports on the idea of there was contentiousness between the head coach and star player, that not everybody got it wrong. Not everybody was wrong in that scenario. So, again, it is interesting that we're getting this now, you know, and again, I want to hear more about this kind of stuff. And, you know, we as most people feed into the negative, right? And obviously, you know, Quinn Snyder coming in, evaluating players, because we heard that from what? We heard that from Steve Koonin and everything else, that, you know, he needed to evaluate the players and relationships and this and that and whatever like that. Okay. Well, if everything was so glorious with the last guy, then did they need to fire him? And again, I think firing Nate, you know, was a move that was going to happen. This franchise was going nowhere with that direction. But why didn't it work? If your star player and your head coach had such a good relationship, then why did it not go anywhere? Why was it unsuccessful since that Eastern Conference Finals run? And we've talked about this. They didn't do a single solitary thing to build off it. And by the way, it's not all Tony Ressler's fault. Him not going into the luxury tax is certainly part of this in building a roster, but it's not the whole story. You can't just simply blame it on Tony Ressler not wanting to be in the luxury tax for the Hawks' woes, because they still had Hunter and Collins and Capella and Trey and DeJounte and all these guys drafted a promising rookie, Jalen Johnson, playing this year. It's not all Tony Ressler's fault because they didn't want to go. Just because they moved on from Kevin Huerter doesn't mean the franchise should have collapsed underneath itself. So, interesting comments, but not sure how much of it I completely believe. All right, Bob Nightingale going to join us up next. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at it, Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-741-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app, so you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game, at JMCH316. Braves will be back at it tomorrow. Bryce Elder and Carlos Carrasco. Boy, you're talking about a matchup of old veterans coming up on a Wednesday. Charlie Morton and Max Scherzer will hook up on Wednesday. And then the old guard versus the new guard, Spencer Strider versus Justin Verlander. So this will be a very interesting matchup and certainly a chance. You know, we didn't get to see the Mets a whole lot because obviously that crazy series that was supposed to be a five-game series had all the rainouts to it, and they only ended up playing three games, right? I mean, it was just kind of a crazy, kind of goofy series. But this has a chance to, you know, look, this is, you know, in the words of Kevin Nash, this is where the big boys play. And right now, when you look at where the Mets are, when you look at where they are in the standings of everything, you know, Mets are right now in, what, third place in the division? You know, they're 5.5 games out. You don't want to find yourself, you know, if the Braves can take, you know, 2 out of 3 or sweep, I mean, you know, you feel like you start to kind of get some separation. I mean, right now, 8 games ahead of Philadelphia, 5.5 against the Mets. Surprisingly, only 3.5 over the Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins. But still, I mean, again, this is a series that I don't want to say it's must win for the Mets, but you have to feel like you're going to keep this thing close. You have to, if you're a Mets fan, you have to feel like you're trying to keep this thing close. Because right now they're 30-30. And they've spent, what was it they spent? $900 million or some ridiculous amount of money in contracts this offseason, right? $800 or $900 million. It's crazy how many contracts that they signed up, right? And all the big money that they put out there. And to only be 30-30. And yeah, they had some injuries at the beginning of the season, but again, look, we've got the best left-hander in baseball that's down right now. And we've got our 20-game winner from last year that's down right now. So everybody's facing injuries. Everybody's fighting through some different things. But this is a good series for the Braves. Elder and Carrasco, Morton, Scherzer, and Strider and Verlander. I'm especially looking forward to seeing what Strider and Verlander can come up with. That's, you know, again, the old guard, which I think Verlander is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And obviously the new guard and Spencer Strider, who, you know, who knows what will happen in his career. Verlander's only 2-3 with a 4.25 ERA, so he's had his struggles. Only 30 strikeouts in 36 innings. That's a pretty low number for Justin Verlander. I'm trying to see when's the last time he had that low of a strikeout per nine total. I mean, let me put it this way. He was 9.5 last year, and he was, in 2019, he was 12.1, 12.2 in 2018, 10.5 in 2020. So it's been a four-year decline where his strikeouts per nine have gone down each of the last four seasons. Now, obviously, he only pitched six innings in the pandemic year of 2020, then he missed all of 2021. But he's had a four-season decline in his strikeouts per nine. So, again, look, he's 40 years old, right? I mean, he's not going to pitch forever. But, you know, again, Charlie Morton is still doing some good things. I mean, he's been near double-digit, you know, strikeouts per nine innings and things like that. So, but, you know, we'll see what happens in this series. But you feel like that if you're a Mets fan, you've got to keep this thing close. And we talked about this last week, the idea of, okay, once you get through Arizona and you get through this Mets series, then the schedule really starts to lighten up. Washington, Detroit, Colorado, at Philadelphia, but then at Cincinnati, home with Minnesota. That's the rest of the schedule for the month of June. That's pretty good. You got a couple of last place teams that are in that mix of series. So this series, you know, the series in Arizona and now against New York, you get through all of that, the road starts to, the light at the end of the road kind of, you know, gets a little bit brighter, right? Like it's a little bit easier, and this could really be a chance for the Braves to start to separate themselves from, you know, the rest of the teams in their division. If they can take care of the business against the Mets, they can take care of business at Philadelphia, who's struggling right now. They're you know, basically just kind of floundering around in that Eastern Division, eight games back. They're in fourth place. I mean, the only team that's saving them is Washington, who's one of the more dreadful teams in Major League Baseball. But Detroit's not very good. Colorado's not very good. Cincinnati's probably below average. Minnesota's all right. They lead their division. But, again, they're a very kind of mediocre team. So this opens itself up that if you can get through this, you know, get through this series with the Mets and at least win two out of three, things start to open up. And, you know, who knows? You get to the month of July and you start to open up a 7, 8, 9 game lead. I think it's going to be hard for those teams in the East to try to come back because the Braves are not going to go into any kind of funk. And, you know, the idea of the Mets or the Phillies having the kind of winning streak that the Braves had, remember, when the Braves got on that massive run, you know, that was after, what was his name? What's his name? Sal Bag of Donuts or whatever, proclaimed the NL East over, and the Braves went on that run. And it's funny, too, because Bob Nightingale tweeted this, that the Braves had another meeting in Arizona. Remember last year when they had that meeting in Arizona? Remember when they had that meeting a year ago? The Braves were 23-27, 10.5 games out of first place, and they ended up going 78-34 after that. This year, after they had lost three of four games on the road trip, they had a clubhouse meeting on Saturday in Arizona, and they were 2-0 since then. Don't know if it's going to have the same effect, but it seems like, you know, when the Braves get out to Arizona, that's the place to clear. Maybe it's the desert air. Maybe it's the you know, the heat and the humidity and the desert air. You breathe in better, right? I mean, you open up your sinuses and different things like that, and everybody gets a chance to breathe better. But certainly, I mean, you know, it paid dividends last year. Paid dividends. And remember, we heard about that meeting, right? We heard about that meeting about, okay, you know, Snicker called a clubhouse meeting and all this to kind of clear up the air, and they were kind of floundering around, and then they got off to that massive winning streak and just never looked back. I mean, think about that, 78-34. 78-34 is what they were after that 23-27 in Arizona, 10.5 games out. That's not all. What's his name? Sal Bag of Donuts or whatever? So that's not all just what he had to say, that they went on a torrid pace. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But obviously, so far, so good. You know, but this is a chance to kind of separate themselves a little bit more from the Mets, get themselves a little bit more breathing room. And look, if you're, you know, 7-8 games up, you get into July, you start feeling pretty good about yourself. Because I don't think right now, based upon what I've seen out of the New York Mets or the Philadelphia Phillies, they've got a 78-34 in them. I don't think they've got anything close to a 78-34 in them. And obviously, you know, again, until somebody else wins the division, I'm not going to believe that, you know, anybody but the Braves are going to win this division. May happen at some point. You know, at some point they may get caught. But again, even if you don't do well against the New York Mets over these next few days, like I said, you're playing some last place teams, so things start to open up a little bit easier. So, all right, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Bob Nightingale, national MLB columnist for USA Today. Bob's on Twitter at BNightingale. Bob, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
You know, it certainly seems like when Brian Snicker calls a meeting in Arizona over these last couple of years, I guess that they it's like E.F. Hutton, right? When he talks, they listen.
Yeah, I mean, we're class, you're like a charm, and it's funny, like you said, he goes, "Yeah, I look smart when I do it before Strider pitches." And that's what happened last year, too. Strider made his debut in Phoenix and had the team meeting and took off.
You know, Bob, you had the story about Brian Snicker benching Marcell Ozuna after, you know, looking at the home run. You know, I like the fact of not just the fact that he's holding guys accountable, but I really like the fact that this got out publicly, that this was a story that came out publicly, that they didn't try to monkey around or tinker around or say, oh, well, Ozuna pulled a hamstring or anything like this. No, like he made Ozuna and these guys be accountable for their actions. I give Snicker a lot of credit. I mean, he's an old soul in baseball, but, you know, a lot of managers I don't think would have, you know, put it out there in public or you know, been as honest about the situation as what he was.
No, 100% with you. You know, when it happened, I said, is he going to get benched? You know, kind of forgetting he's a DH. You don't know if he's going to get benched or not.
Right.
Obviously, they didn't pinch run for him. But then when they brought in a, Olsen, a pinch hit, I said, okay. Yeah, now we're, and I'm sorry, not Olsen, but Murphy. He said, okay, this was it. And, you know, nobody really asked him about it downstairs. It's like, man, this should be big. And finally, you know, he acknowledged that, you know, simply, yeah, he feels bad about it. But I'm glad Snicker did. I'm glad he outed him, because that was inexcusable. It cost him a run. It could cost him the game. He should have been at least on second base, if not third, at least second. And then remember when there was a pass ball and the ball hit the right side, so it cost him a run.
You know, Bob, you know, I was talking about the schedule for the Braves, and once they get through this Mets series, things really open up. I mean, they play the Mets at home for three games. Later in the month, they'll go on the road to Philadelphia. But they've got a couple of last-place teams in the schedule, Detroit, Colorado. Obviously, you know, even the Twins are kind of a little bit kind of mediocre right now. the Reds are nothing really special. You know, it feels like if the Mets and Phillies don't start to strike now, then this thing could start to separate itself as you get into July, because, again, the Braves have a lot of, and I say easy games, but they don't have some difficult series that are coming up outside of New York and Philly.
No, I agree. I think, I mean, I really believe Atlanta's a class of National League. I'd be stunned if they don't win the East. You know, the Phillies are going to be, you know, in a quicksand all year. I don't know what they're doing. The pitching's not there. You know, the Mets are.
Did we lose Bob? Well, I think maybe we lost Bob. Bad connection, bad signal there. So, well, anyway,
he's
listen.
Coming.
Bob, are you there?
Yeah, so no, I like him a lot. I think they're going to win the pennant again. I don't see a team better than them.
Do you think that this is Verlander's last season? I mean, is, you know, again, it's, I understand the injuries early in the year, but it has been a struggle for him. I mean, is this the year we finally see Verlander hang it up?
Remember, he signed a 2-year contract for $86 million. He's not going to walk away for $43 million. So no, I don't believe that. And remember, he's always said, Chuck, that he wants to pitch. He's 45. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm not sure it's even going to be done after these next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, and I know he had the monster season last year, right? I mean, he was the Cy Young winner last year, but is it just, you know, was it just the early season injuries and trying to get back into it, or have you seen something different about him? Because this has been, and I know the injuries, you know, have factored into, you know, the 2021 season and the pandemic year, but he's had four straight years where he's had a lower number of strikeout per nine innings. And, you know, at some point, I mean, you know, when you lose that ability to get guys out nowadays, you know, again, guys are just going to sit there and tee off on you. And, you know, I wonder about if it's just, you know, age, health, like what is it about him?
Well, yeah, I think it's age. And remember, guys were using the sticky stuff. I mean, it was so common in baseball. And I think it was prevalent, you know, with guys in Houston, stuff like that. And you know, guys are getting away with it now that, you know, MLB is cracking down on all the pitchers. I think kind of a combination, just age and, you know, you can't get the grip on the ball like you used to. And, you know, I mean, we haven't seen too many guys, you know, pitch one in their 40s. You know, Randy Johnson, you know, he starts with his age. You know, Nolan Ryan's about the lone exception. You know, Roger Clemens there. But that's about it. No, not too many guys can do that.
You know, Bob, you're in Arizona. Are you still surprised? I mean, you and I talked about this specifically about, okay, could Arizona hang for a while? And you said that, you know, eventually their pitching might catch up to them just trying to overtake the Dodgers over 162 games. Are you still surprised that they're hanging tough with the Dodgers? I mean, 35-25 at this point of the season, pretty good home record. They're above 500 on the road. They are a plus, you know, run differential team. You surprised that they're still hanging in there?
I am. You know, I think they're going to hang in there. I don't think they're I don't think they're going to go all in to trade the line or anything like that. I still think they're a year away. We saw that in the Atlanta series where they lost 2-3. You know, the bullpen coughed it up. You know, they got two, you know, magnificent starters, particularly with Zach Gallen. You know, you still got, you know, Merrill Kelly too. But, you know, I'm not sure that the staying power. But I'll tell you what, I didn't think the National League was going to be this down, Chuck. I mean, I never thought the Mets, the Phillies, and particularly the Padres would be this bad.
And again, we've seen teams like Pittsburgh be four games above 500. The Marlins are four games above 500. I mean, it does seem like the National League is upside down from what it's supposed to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the money. I mean, they you know, the Mets with the taxes is, you know, about $500 million. The Padres are about, you know, over $250 million. So yeah, it's embarrassing. I think if the Padres don't make the playoffs, Chuck, I think it'll go down as the most underachieving team in baseball history.
So do you think that Mets, Phillies, Padres, if they continue to underachieve, that they will look to move some of those assets? Or do you think that they ride it, you know, this entire year and stay the course? I know how much money they've forked out, but, you know, at some point, if you're not getting any kind of return on investment, do you try to offload some of those contracts?
No, I think they stay the course, you know, for the season. It'd be too embarrassing to give up. You know, plus National League is down. So, you know, there's all those, you know, three wild card spots. So you can't give up. Now, in the offseason, might be a different story. I think if the Padres don't make the playoffs, they got to see what they get for Juan Soto. I would dump him and see what you get back. You know, you can't do anything with Machado. He's got the, you know, no trade clause. Tatis is having a good year. Bogart, you know, showing a lot of help. So, yeah, I don't see them or the Mets, you know, or the Phillies do anything during the season. But the offseason, they might have to look in the mirror and say, you know what, it's not working. Let's move some people.
Bob, the Texas Rangers just continue to pile up wins, and their run differential is just absurd. And you know, we talked about, you know, potential MVP candidates before, but again, this team is just, I don't know, what do they do? I mean, they're 38-20. They're a plus 152 run differential. They're dominant at home. They're dominant on the road. Like, why is this team, like, suddenly just come up and been so good this year?
Well, because they got the biggest free agent acquisition in all baseball, Bruce Bochy. you know, it's amazing this guy was sitting out there. Nobody wanted him. And it's pretty much the same team. Yeah, they got a couple of parts. I mean, you know, but Grom hasn't pitched. So, yeah, Bochy made a difference. And his sidekick, of course, is Mike Maddux, the pitching coach. You know, they made some nice free agent moves. You know, Nathan Eovaldi has been great. You know, of course, you know, Semien a year ago and Seager a year ago. But I think, you know, it shows what a coaching staff, what a difference it can make for a team.
So I know Ohtani is in line to just get the, you know, Megalodon type of contract long term. But as this team with the Angels just continues to flounder and just, again, I think they're what, a game above 500? And you and I specifically talked about the idea of, you know, that – Mike Trout may be, you know, this generation's, you know, kind of Ted Williams. I mean, just not much, you know, playoff appearances and, you know, maybe not winning a World Series. But are they going to pay Ohtani, you know, $500 million? I mean, to be there, I know the attraction of it. But from the baseball perspective, they get nothing out of having arguably the two best players in baseball, maybe along with Aaron Judge, but maybe two of the three best players in all of baseball for it.
No, and what they are getting out of Ohtani is money. I mean, he's worth about, I was told, about $20 million a year, Chuck, with the licensing and merchandising and everything else. So, you know, and, you know, Trout's got to bring in some money, nothing like Ohtani. So, yeah, it's a shame, and I think they'll stay with it unless they just have a complete free fall and just kind of lose him as a free agent. You know, I think it's, you know, 50-50 coin flip. Does he go to the Dodgers or goes to the you know, San Diego Padres? I think he likes San Diego a lot. I mean, likes Southern California a lot. I'm not going to completely rule out San Francisco or Seattle, but he's such a homebody, I think he definitely stays out west.
Bob Nightingale is a national MLB columnist for USA Today and joined me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Check out his personal Twitter page, at BNightingale. Bob, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. We will certainly chat again soon.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Chuck, as always.
You got it, as always. Come up top of the hour. when we come back, Falcons flyover coming up. Your news and notes about the Atlanta Falcons. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.